Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, your host, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have in my company, in the studio, Janelle Monksy. I hope I pronounced it correctly, Janelle, from the Barbados Statistical Services. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much, Yudalee. My name is Janelle Scantlebury-Munsey.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's start, Janelle, by talking about the statistical services. What is the Barbados Statistical Services?
Okay. Again, thank you so very much for having us on your program. And you said you are deeply honored to have us here, but we are also very honored to be here with you during your Month of the Disabled, Inclusion Living Without Limits. So we are very happy to be part of this month with you guys. The Barbados Statistical Service is the department within the Ministry of Economic Affairs that is the main provider of official statistics for Barbados. We operate under the Statistics Act, CAP 192, which gives us the legal or the legality of collecting information on the behalf of Barbados.
Okay, so can you tell us about the services being provided by the Barbados Statistical Services?
So the main service that we provide is the production of economic and social statistics on Barbados. We also provide training on damage assessment, as well as collect information when a hazard has impacted Barbados. So for example, the most known ones are when we are impacted by a storm or a hurricane. We also provide maps or mapping services to persons who require information thematically on different aspects of Barbados, and we can provide that information pictorially using maps. So in addition to our main function, we are also a department that have many other purposes. But the main statistics that we produce are economic and social statistics.
Okay. Now, Janelle, I know that one of the major pieces of research that you conduct is the National Housing and Population Census done every 10 years. Can you tell us what is a census and why it is important to Barbados?
Okay, not a problem. The census, as is popularly known, is actually officially named the Population and Housing Census. So in addition to collecting information on the residents of the island, we also collect information on the housing stock or the dwelling units that persons live in on the island. And that is also critically important because we also need to know, in addition to the social aspect, in terms of from the person perspective, we also need to know the kind of housing conditions that persons are living in on the island. So it's a population and housing census. And as you said, for Barbados, it is conducted every 10 years.
Fabulous. That is a very good explanation. And I hope that our listeners really understand the importance of the census, which is currently being conducted now. So can you tell us how persons with disabilities are identified when the enumerators visit the various houses?
Okay, so when the enumerator visits a dwelling unit where persons live, we identify ourselves as members of the Barbados Statistical Service. In addition to explaining who we are, we also always have on our person our Barbados Statistical Service identification, ID card. After we explain who we are, we start the interview, starting with the head of the household. So if we come across a person who we recognize is disabled, there's a section within our questionnaire called Disability and Health, which asks questions specifically relating to disability as well as health questions. And these questions will be able to identify those persons within our population who are disabled. And it's interesting to note that in some cases, when we start to go through the questions, persons may then recognize, maybe perhaps I may have a disability and didn't even realize I have a disability based on the structure of the questions.
Okay. These questions that are specifically geared towards identifying disability, I'm aware of the Washington group of questions. Are these included in our census?
Most definitely. So the Washington Group set of questions are the international standard as it relates to collecting and compiling data on disabilities as it relates to persons in a population. So as I said, it is the international standard which we have adopted during this census round. This is the first time that we are using the Washington Group set of questions, and we are very happy and pleased to be using it this time around. The critical thing about the Washington Group set of questions is that it is geared towards having the data comparable with other countries around the world. So when we have completed a census and we would have disseminated the information collected for Barbados will be comparable with countries around the world. So we'd be comparing apples with apples as opposed to apples with oranges. So in essence, other countries who are also collecting information on disability using the Washington Group set of questions, we'll be asking the same question. So at the end of the day, when we compare Barbados with America or compare Barbados with Antigua, then we will know that we can compare and contrast between countries to see how good or how poor we are, etc.
Well, that is indeed great news, because I know that quite often that is a concern. How do we know for sure that there is a set standard, that there can be comparisons? Now, given the stigma and discrimination that people with disabilities experience, were the enumerators trained like in customer service techniques so that they can ensure the information gathered from the people with disabilities is, accurate?
To answer your question, the answer is yes. Because the census is so important, when we are training persons who are collecting information, we go through a segment of our training called interviewing techniques. Now, this is very important and very comprehensive, because within any given population, there are different types of persons that we need to engage. And we don't want to make persons feel uncomfortable, or we don't want to make persons feel that the information that we're asking is too invasive, or we don't want to offend them. So our interviewing techniques component of our training would encompass how do we rapport with the different persons within our population and make them feel comfortable while we are conducting the interview. And of course, this extends to the persons within our population who are disabled. And as we all know, there are different types of disabilities. So when we recognize that a person, for example, is blind, how do we, as an interviewer, make that person feel comfortable? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who we are interviewing, we need the person to understand the questions asked in the manner in which we want them to be understood. In this case, the focus is on persons with disability. So the person who is blind, who is deaf, who may have mobility issues, they need to understand the questions as intended, and they also need to feel comfortable and not offended by the interviewer. So that is covered in our interview techniques.
Great. Would you say that the mode of collection of data and context, makes a difference in the responses from the persons with disabilities or their caregivers?
So that is a very interesting question. You speak to two aspects. You speak about the mode of collection, and you also speak about the context. So yeah. Let me deal first with the mode. So this time around, we're using CAPI, which is computer-assisted personal interviewing, meaning that we'll be using tablets to collect the information as opposed to paper. Many instances, enumerators have been using paper as well, because for some persons, they may be faster. So we also have a mixed mode approach this time around. However, if we were to find some person in the household who may be deaf, for example, or who may have some kind of hearing impairment, the enumerator, in some instances, because I would have gotten an example from one of our senior supervisors yesterday, she would have interviewed during this census some person who is not totally deaf, but has some hearing impairment. So what she recognized that the person was reading her lips to understand what she is saying more clearly. So she had to over-enunciate and she obviously had to go slower so the person can understand clearly what they were saying. So patients, obviously, in that interview, it was very, very important. At the end of the interview, she did understand our interviewer and the interview was collected successfully. The same goes for some person who may be blind, for example. They can't see, but can definitely hear. So it makes it easier for the interviewer. So my point is, you need to adapt to the circumstance or the context in which the person is in. And at the end of the day, we need to make persons feel comfortable in answering the questions being asked. There's the other context of you may have some person in the household who may not want the person who is disabled to be interviewed. But after explaining using persuasion, normally, generally, I think the trend is changing somewhat where persons are not hidden as much as before. So as you said, the context is really important as well. And sometimes the neighbors will tell the interviewer when they get it, oh, the person next door has a disability in X, Y, or Z. And then we prepare ourselves to conduct the interview with the information that we have.
This is indeed good news. Now, one of the things that I have always been curious about are persons living in residential care, like nursing homes, children's homes, maybe the prison. Are they also counted?
Most definitely, because they are a part of our population, so we can't forget them. Those persons who are institutionalized, as well as those persons who are living on the street, we also collect information in terms of numbers as it relates to them. So how do we do this? Prior to census enumeration, we contact all the institutions that we are aware of, nursing homes, children's homes, the prison, hospitals, and when I say hospitals, all the different kinds of hospitals, the geriatric hospital, the general hospital, the psychiatric hospital, the prison, the children's homes, government industrial school. For the first time, we made contact with the association that deals with the homeless population, and they provided great assistance this census round. Because they are most certainly, most definitely a part of our population, they are included in our count.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm sure that some of our listeners would be satisfied to learn this as well.
Yes, most definitely.
Now, Janelle, is the data collected cross-tabulated?
Yes, it is. At the basic level, it is cross-tabulated by age and sex. And the more complex tables, we cross-tabulate them with the variables that are most suited. So I would have referenced age and sex, but then they are cross-tabulated by parish and they are cross-tabulated by other relevant variables within the data set. So when it is finished, it's more comprehensive and people can get a better snapshot of the dynamics within our population. So for example, the information collected on disability, normally cross-tabulated by age, by sex, by parish, and then using other variables as we deem fit or necessary.
Okay. How soon after the collection process is the data available to the general public?
This is an interesting question. So we are now wrapping up enumeration. After we wrap up main enumeration, then we go back out because there'll be some areas that have not been enumerated or perhaps may have been missed. So we have that period, we go back to do what we call our cleanup work. After that, we provide preliminary information. Preliminary information as it relates to the count of the population by age, by sex, by parish. And then sometime after that, the more detailed information, where we include all the information collected, and this is disseminated in tables. And then sometime after that, then we do further deeper analysis into the various thematic areas that would have been collected on the census questionnaire. So persons can expect later this year, I can't give a definitive time at this moment, but they can expect this year the tables as it relates to census to be published, or at least disseminated.
Okay. Now, Janelle, let's get a little personal.
Okay, that's fine.
How did you get involved in working in the statistical area, the sector?
Okay, so a lot of persons in Barbados, I would have done a degree at University of the West Indies. After I would have studied, I would have interviewed in various organizations. And one of the organizations that I would have interviewed with was at the Barbados Statistical Service. So I first came into the department as an enumerator in a survey that was going on at the time. And then quickly afterwards, say around a year or so, no, 6 months, a position opened up for a statistician. And then I joined the department as a statistician from that point on. So that was my introduction into the statistical department. And several years later, I'm still here.
So what makes it so exciting for you?
So I would have mentioned before, social statistics and economic statistics. I really do enjoy working in social statistics, the people aspect of statistics. I think understanding who we are from the social side is very exciting. Economic statistics can tell us who we are from the monetary perspective. But then, this is just me, I'm being a little biased now. From the social side, there are so many different things in our society that impact the person and the individual. And I find it rather not just exciting, but it's very telling as to who we are as a population. When you pull all the information together, it really speaks to who we are as a country.
Share with us some of your thoughts. As you just said, the social statistics tell you a story about Barbados. Just share with us some of your thoughts, maybe around the cultural angle. Another angle, education, okay. Economics.
Okay, so one of the things I would have found, so I did my master's in demography, which is the study of populations. So the main components of population change, how a population change is births, deaths, and migration. So one of the things that I often find interesting is the dynamics that will cause a population to grow or to decrease. So one of the main drivers are births. And as we know, our population, as many populations around the world, are starting to decrease. But of course, a population just doesn't decrease just like that. What are the factors that will cause a population to decrease in this instance? What will cause a population to increase in this instance? And one of the other things I find interesting, how a population changes throughout the decade. So we would have done a census 10 years ago. But how has our population changed 10 years ago? And we would have done another one a further 20 years ago. So how does the 2020 population compare to the 2010 population compared to going further back as, say, the 1980 population? And when we look at the statistics through the years, you would tend to see the slow change of how the norms in society are changing. And it really plays out in the statistics over the years. And I find that quite interesting. And it tells many stories besides the whole notion of what will cause a population to change. So for example, one of the things that my colleagues at work would have been noticing, the one aspect is religion, how that is slowly changing in the context of Barbados, for example. We're starting to see more persons who identify as not being associated with any religious organization. So that is a change that we're slowly seeing in our population. A phenomenon that we met for the first time last census was the whole notion of persons renting rooms. Before, we were caught up with the concept of living in a bungalow or living in an apartment. But then we were met with the challenge of enumerating persons who live in a room, in a house. So as opposed to having a one-to-one relationship of one family in one house, if we have three rooms renting out in a traditional bungalow, that typically is three families living in a traditional bungalow. So that's like a 3-to-1 relationship now. So just watching through the numbers, how things are changing is very interesting. And it tells a story how we as a population, as a nation, are also changing as the years go by.
Indeed, the statistics are telling so many stories. Mm-hmm. So in terms of recommendations, does the Barbados Statistical Services share recommendations relating to some of your findings?
So let's back up a bit and set a bit of context. So I would have mentioned earlier that we are a department within our parent ministry, which is the Ministry of Economic Affairs. So our primary role, the Barbados Statistical Service, is to produce, compile, collate, disseminate information as it relates to statistics. Then our parent ministry has the responsibility of doing further research and writing policy as it relates to the information that we would collect. So from that perspective, yes, we do produce statistics, and we also provide short descriptive analysis of the statistics that we produce. So for example, when we produce the retail price index, it's accompanied by a document that explains the data that is being reported on. Similarly, when we collect information on tourism statistics, we produce a report or short analysis on the information that is being reported in for the period. But further analysis is normally done by our parent ministry, as I said, who do further research. And when it comes to policy, that is the responsibility of our parent ministry. We may have some input into the policy when invited, but the primary role of our ministry is the policy aspect of it, not our department.
All right. So Janelle, you shared a lot with us. So let's just zone in on people living with disabilities. I know that there are several training programs and discussions around gathering data as it relates to this particular community. How would you say that your department has worked at improving the data collection on people with disabilities?
So one of the major things that we have employed this time around is the use of the Washington Group set of questions, which is really, really important. In past censuses, the route that we would have taken, we would have asked the different agencies surrounding disability to provide to us the BSS, because you're the experts in disability, the questions that you would want us to ask on your behalf. But of course, as mentioned earlier, in the comparability with other countries was missing. So that is why this time around, we've decided to use the Washington Group set of questions. Also, the advantage of using the Washington Group set of questions is that it allows us to really pick up all those individuals who truly are disabled. Because as I would have referenced before, some persons may be going along their everyday lives and not even realizing that they may perhaps be disabled, given the definitions or the descriptions of the set of questions asked. So that is important. And in addition to that, what is really critical is that we don't want to have an under-reporting of persons with disabilities. We want to have a true representation of the persons with disabilities and the type of disability that they have. Well, I referenced policy earlier as relates to making decisions on behalf of your community. It is really important that we get a true picture of what is happening in our population as relates to persons with disabilities, so that when a decision is made, it is made at a level that is really, really sound based on the information collected. I like the theme. It's all about inclusion. We don't want to have anybody hidden within our society that is disabled. So representation matters. And this is one era where you can ensure that the disabled community is really represented. And that is within the numbers, and numbers speak volume.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that in other jurisdictions like Canada, the UK, and the USA, and so on, they will do their population and housing census. And then maybe like 2 years later, they go back to the disabled population and do a specific census on this population. How possible, and do you think this is relevant to conduct such a census in Barbados?
I think it's relevant. It's very important, but it comes down to funding. Normally, when surveys of that nature, or censuses of that nature are conducted, well, obviously you need to plan way in advance, but you need to have the monies available to conduct such surveys. The thing is, surveys are expensive, and that is why the census is so important. So this is the time now to collect the information that we need, because the census only comes every 10 years. And during the decade, it may or may not always be possible to find the funding available to conduct an additional survey or census on a specific subpopulation. So that is why getting the information in the census is so important, because we know for certain the census is coming every 10 years, but we can't be guaranteed that we will have the funding available to conduct a specific survey throughout the decade. That is not guaranteed.
Okay.
So lobbying for the financing or finding ways to get the financing to conduct the survey is really important.
Nice. Thank you. Now, one final question, Janelle. What would you, or how would you appeal to the caregivers, the family members, and people living with disabilities themselves to really be counted in this census? I think we still have pockets of individuals who may want to remain in the background and not come up to the front and identify.
That will answer the question this way. Representation matters. When it's normalized and you can see persons with disabilities within our society being active and being a part of normal, regular life, I think society in general would tend to include them more. And when it's become more normalized, it isn't a thing. Let's use that word. It isn't a thing anymore. I think it's still a thing to have persons with disabilities being included in regular life. And I would like to see us as a society step beyond that, where you can see persons with disabilities being active in everyday life within our society. So I would implore persons who have family members with a disability not to feel ashamed, to include them in regular life, going into town, doing regular activities that we take for granted, and include them so that they get a sense of what it feels like to be living active life and independently as possible. It's nothing to be ashamed of. So when our enumerators or interviewers come to a household, it may not even be the census. It may be our labor force survey, which is another household survey. Of course, you want to be included in our labor force survey, because the labor force survey speaks to unemployment. And of course, we want to be represented in a survey like that.
Okay, great. Well, Janelle, it really has been an awesome interview with you. And I truly appreciate the conversation, so that we can make our public a bit more aware of what's happening, how we are working so diligently, and just helping to build a stronger Barbados with your statistics.
Thank you. On behalf of the director and the staff of the Barbados Statistical Service, I would just like to thank you for having us on your program this morning.
My pleasure. You have been listening to Visions with me, Eudalie Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Janelle Canterbury Muncy from the Barbados Statistical Services. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300, and by email, of course, at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. You can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and look for Visions Podcast and listen. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.